Well, welcome back, everyone. 2023. Hope everyone had a refreshing Christmas and festive season. We're all back ready to go, and it's a bit scary, but 2 months is nearly almost gone of 2023. Welcome, councillors. Globe in the meeting with the acknowledgement of country. Rouse County Council acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land upon which we work and live. We pay our respects to the elders of the past, present and emerging, acknowledge their continuing connection to country who will guide us on our shared journey to the future. Apologies. Councillor Sarah's downstairs. Oh,
Councillor Sarah.
Apologies.
So we have a full house. Is there any applications for leave of absence or attendance?
No? 30 seconds while I get some milk.
Item 4, confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting, the ordinary meeting on the 15th of December 2022. Could I get a move, please? Correct. Councillor seconded. Councillor. Put that motion, all those in favour? Carried, unanimous. Disclosure of interest. Any councillor got a disclosure of interest? The general manager, have you received any?
No.
Chair's minute, nil. Notice of motion, nil. General manager reports, nil. Page 9. Item 9.1. Quarterly budget review statement for the quarter ending 31st December. I get a mover, please.
Yeah, I'm having
Councillor Rod and a second is Councillor Rod. Councillor?
Can I pass my opportunity to speak? I'm just looking at some notes I made. Sorry, I'm running a bit late.
Second to Councillor Rod.
I think staff did a great job with this financial.
Any other councillors?
I'm ready to go now. Sorry about that.
All right.
I just had a couple of questions, and I would commend the report and work that's been done by our staff in getting to where we are in very difficult times with obviously facing rising inflation. It's putting great pressure on the cost of everything, including staff costs, contract costs, and so forth. It's a great result, again. But I had a couple of questions. Page 13, there's an item on $30,000 expenditure on testing equipment needed because of the closure of the Richmond Water Labs. Don't we retain any of the equipment from there, or what's the story?
So through the chair, there's a couple of things. So we've been going through looking at the equipment we had at the lab. This one allows a lot of autonomy with the testing. So basically, instead of having to have the lab staff be there and check the results, it undertakes the results, the test, and then emails the results. So we don't have to come back in over the weekend and things like that. We didn't have that functionality in the previous equipment. The other part is a lot of the equipment in the lab was starting to get close to its end of life or at end of life, and we were holding off on major replacements until we were undertaking that review. So whilst there was some equipment and materials and things like that, it wasn't like we could pick everything up. And there was also other elements that were damaged due to the flood.
Okay. Page 24. $114,000 garden maintenance at the Gullens Road site. Does that include management of the farm there, the tea tree, or is that just the gardens?
So at the moment, it's a contractor going through doing a lot of that plus some additional bits and pieces. That's not purely just gardens, but it's not the tea tree at the moment. So we're a big issue we've had with the tea tree is getting equipment on with the how wet it's been. So they were actually scheduled to come this week, and we had that downpour yesterday. So we're still hoping that they can gain access to the site and get on top of that tea tree.
That's overall site maintenance, not just gardening.
Yeah. So it
sounds like a lot of money just for mowing lawns.
It's like a lawn, handyman, all those types of things in one.
Okay. Thank you. I just asked because obviously I know people are struggling to pay their rates and struggling to pay their water bills, and every dollar counts. Also on page 13, the Australian Research Council grant application. This was a motion that was passed by the previous council looking at natural solutions for containing flooding. There's a perception that planting more trees in the upper catchment will flow water down. This study would, I suppose, verify whether that's possible. There seems to be community views as to the ability of engineering solutions versus natural solutions. I understand the CSIRO report is looking at the engineering solutions, and hopefully we'll get some details on that in the near future. But there's still that community concern out there about whether natural solutions are an answer. So obviously this study's been rejected by the Australian Research Council. And I wonder perhaps where we go from here. And I ask fellow councillors what we should do with it. Should we just take it off the books? Or should we write to the minister and see if it can be funded? Because it would perhaps give us more information as a community as to whether natural solutions are possible. Personally, I've always been a believer in natural solutions if they are possible. But when we did that boat trip up to Rocky Creek Dam and saw what that flood did to the natural environment up there, it sort of gave me different views as to whether natural solutions would have had any impact at all in a flood like the one we've just seen. So does the council believe that that study is something we should keep pursuing, or should we just lay it to rest? And, you know, I put that out to councillors. My view is that it would be good if the study is going to give us an accurate answer to have that, so that this community debate can be satisfied. And what I'd be willing to move perhaps is that we write to the Education Minister, who's responsible for the Australian Research Council, and ask if they can have another look at it in the coming year. My understanding is that the Minister, I believe it's Minister Clare, obviously was getting his feet under the desk in the last 12 months, and he's given the Australian Research Council new priorities that match the government's priorities. And there's obviously a strong emphasis on the environment and climate change. So I can't see why this study wouldn't fit in with his new priorities, and perhaps it's worthwhile pursuing that. So I'd be willing to perhaps move as an amendment that we write to the Minister, Federal Minister for Education.
Definitely.
And ask for it to be looked at again, if the seconder would be willing to accept that as an amendment.
Oh. Yeah, I would
too.
Just a second. I'll just get a comment from Anthony is here. And there's a bit of history there. And I'd be interested to hear from Anthony. Has the universities made a decision of not progressing any further as well, because that we were one of many potential partners? So I was wondering if anything can provide a bit of background.
Yeah, we were. It was actually the research, the proposal that ended up going to the ARC was, it's very unfortunate it wasn't supported, because it was one that probably took about 3 years to in total to actually come together, because it went across at least three universities, possibly more, and it was these discussions actually started following the 2017 flood, and so we were looking at opportunities to address multiple objectives through investment in catchments, not just catchment health outcomes, but also natural flood management outcomes. And so, yeah, that the natural flood management type concepts or natural solutions underpins the Northern Rivers Watershed Initiative that Council endorsed, and it was endorsed by the JO. So that is a strategy that we continue to lobby for support. It hasn't been supported to date. And that was a priority of the last term of council, because it was tying together
aspects of catchment health, aspects of flood mitigation, aspects of water security. And so it was done at the same time. So that ARC proposal, it's very disappointing it wasn't supported. I've since seen some things elsewhere that made me think that maybe they've supported some research elsewhere. I haven't tracked that down yet. But it's very disappointing because it was a very, very comprehensive research proposal. Council put up 90,000. We spent 5,000 with council endorsement on a position paper that was done through SCU. So there was 85,000 being returned. And so we've just brought it back here because what council endorsed actually was not supported. But there's still a lot of support in the community. Just today we've issued a letter of support for, I think it's RLI, Richmond Landcare, that are pursuing another funding application to try and apply some of these natural nature-based solution type applications together. But we have forwarded all that content to SIRA, to the SIRA investigation. So whether or not they include that in their modelling exercise, we don't know. We've had no real feedback. They've just said, thank you, we'll look at that. So we don't really know to what extent their modelling will take this in. I certainly think there's merit there because what we were seeking to have done was systematic modelling of, you know, there's probably 20 or 30 options that would be considered under that range of techniques to really try and identify in what locations in the catchment different techniques would be appropriate, because not all, everything's appropriate everywhere, as we've seen. So, you know, it's still something of interest. It underpins the watershed initiative. So, you know, we're still supportive of that as far as that goes. Like you say, it's not a whole, it's part of a solution perhaps. So that's the background. And there's been no, from the uni perspective, there's been no, you know, they've had staff changes. And so I think they've just parked it at the moment to wait and see what happens. So.
Yeah, that was the part that I was interested in, if there was any indication from the uni if they were considering putting it in the game. Because obviously we can't be the lead agency. It's through the research, which is usually one of the universities or a couple of them. So, but we can definitely write and put that. But I just wanted to provide that background to councils because I wasn't sure with where the other partners were at.
Well, if the uni's no longer keen to do it, there's no point. So perhaps we could park it and discuss it again.
I support writing a letter.
Okay.
I think we need to let them know that we're disappointed and we want this to continue, but it won't be an amendment. It's your motion. Right. So if you want to add to it, that's fine.
Yes, I'd like to add to it.
Okay, so we just need a bit of wording, guidance on some wording.
While we're waiting for the wording, we shall say support. After hearing staff just talk, I think I need to disclose the potential conflict, non-pecuniary, non-significant. I'm on Richmond Landcare Incorporated's committee, so I don't think there's anything in here that precludes me from staying. So just because it was mentioned, and I hope this amendment doesn't affect anything like that. So I intend to stay, but I'll wait for the wording and I will take that on.
Right to the Minister of Education, outlining our disappointment with the outcomes of the last bits, and that we'd strongly recommend that they reconsider it.
Because we also believe it aligns with these priorities for the ARC.
And we'll also put in with a bit of the history of what's happened in our region and the linkage back to the watershed as well.
Put that in the letter.
Yeah, we'll put all that in the letter.
Councillor Rob, you're the second. You're okay with it as well. Thank you.
You're finished.
I have a...
I have one question on the budget. Benchmarks. I like benchmarks. What's the page there? Operating performance. I was just wondering. So it's a big deficit, and in the notes, I've just noted that it says
You give
us
a page reference.
Oh, sorry, page 26 is the actual benchmark, and on 27 there's the notes or the comments. And the operating results, about nearly halfway down, operating results include depreciation of 7.8 million and service deficits 5.3. I know that depreciation is a non-cash item, but is that suggesting that we're not keeping up with maintaining and improving existing assets and infrastructure by these two numbers, or is something else going on? I'm just trying to make sure we don't get behind on that.
So, through the chair, I'll just pass over to Finance team, Jonna.
Yeah, I guess it's reflective of our long-term plan in general, that we're operating losses for sort of the medium term. Our operating expenditure has risen much higher than our operating revenue, so it's probably just a reflection of that. That price path as we increase our revenues to pay for the expenditure that we forecast. So it is an improvement, but there are forecast losses ahead as well.
But just one more, so people know, and are we actually keeping up with asset maintenance and improvement?
Yeah, there is another ratio in there that's the infrastructure ratio, so we're meeting that one.
Yeah.
They're quite specific benchmarks, but yeah, we are meeting
that one. Thank you.
Mr. General Manager, I've got a question on page 10, impact on reserves as a whole. Can you just give us an update? I read that, and I know we'll have a report coming back to a future meeting, but I just think this week we were notified that we can pursue funding from IPART, and I believe we need to get this right into order. If we go down that track, we qualify.
Sure.
Can you give us some feedback?
Yeah, I'll pass over to Jonna because we've had a chat this morning about that. So, Jonna, please.
So, through the chair, the internal reserves policy that it refers to was developed a number of years ago. The intention of that was just to be around with budget shocks to make sure we have adequate cash reserves in each fund to meet any changes in the budget. It's important to know that they're targets, not requirements, so that some of the funds we're not actually meeting those targets at present. There is a level of inconsistency there, I guess, with some of the requirements and also our loan covenants over our borrowing. So that's why we raised as an issue that we're going to review the policy and bring it back to a future meeting with council.
Yeah, have we got an estimated date of meeting?
For the April meeting at the moment, June or late.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or speakers?
Thanks, Chair. I was just going back to the CSIRO. The mayors will have a meeting this week before the announcement of the $150 million mitigation fund, and that's somewhere where we can ask about this as well. I think that's a good opportunity for us to ask, is there anything there moving forward? What sort of support has this got? You know, because of the way that it's interlinked and the importance to the community, of course. But the other fact is we see that it actually is a benefit. And you know, it underpins the watershed initiative that we wholeheartedly supported and the community supported as well. So I think there's an opportunity there for us as mayors once we have this meeting this week, getting a briefing on the SCORO report moving forward. Yeah, I think so. And, of course, these figures to me are totally explainable and expected after what we've been through. So there's no surprises in the figures to me. I think we're doing rather well considering.
Other speakers?
Yeah. Oh, I just thought I'd mention something in relation to what you brought up around the engineering solutions versus natural solutions, and wholeheartedly support continuing to, I feel like our community will continue to challenge unless we have that data around looking into natural solutions. But also wanted to challenge that idea that it was all our engineering solutions that were worked and now the natural solutions or nothing could have mitigated or changed the outcome of that flood event for us. For me, when I look at that, our natural you know, it's our engineering solutions, our levies, you know, the challenge to deal with the high levels of particulate and all those sorts of things that were the big challenge in that event. Nature does what nature does. And it's all those things that Rouse does working with nature, the amazing plantings that, you know, the natural rainforest, along with all the other amazing work that's being done. It's us working with the way nature works. That's what works best for us. And pitting an engineering solution against natural solution or you know, natural mitigation, I don't think we're going to achieve any particular good outcome. It's how we work with those two things that gives us the best outcome. So pursuing that funding so we get better answers, not just for our community. This is a problem all up and down the coast. So how we work with these large levels of rainfall in built areas that shouldn't have been built where they were is an answer that everybody needs.
So if I may ask, just based on that, I noticed that even with Richard Lanke, we had a meeting yesterday, that a lot of the focus is on nature-based solutions for flood mitigation. And I made a comment, and I believe I want to ask if Rouse is doing this, are we focusing also on using nature-based solutions for river health? Because I think there's a lot of opportunity there to address that through river health, to not have this competing thing about nature-based versus engineering solutions. So is Rouse going to do that as well, trying to push the river health angle for nature-based solutions to river health that also assist with flood mitigation?
So through the chair, and Anthony will add some if I miss any, but that was the core component of the watershed initiative. It was looking at how do we tie catchment health, water quality, as well as flood mitigation together, and is there any synergies and opportunities? And it really started with we need a very detailed catchment-wide model. And that is one thing that is happening at the moment through the CSIRO, which there is that linkage back to the watershed of being able to do that. What that does allow then is to look at all options, which could be hard assets or traditional ones, nature-based. And I would hope that the ultimate result is that we just don't pick or choose based on people's preference, what's in the best interest of our catchment and our region. Some nature-based solutions can make issues worse depending on the style of catchment. Other times they can make a substantial difference, and the same with the hard engineering assets. So it's about trying to pick the right solution for the problems that we have. The problem we've had historically is we haven't had that real detailed catchment-wide model to be able to really test. And with the lack of that information, everyone thinks they've got the right answer. So if we can get that, we can test it, and we can then have some evidence and some data to support what's going to work best and where. And I think around the table, that's a bit of a general consensus from everyone that we want to see the best outcome.
Legals, close.
Thanks, Chair. I just wanted to acknowledge everyone's comments. But I did mean to mention that, of course, that's the greatest impact on our budget, and these numbers are a sign of how well things are managed, that and inflation and everything else. And with reference to the study and nature-based solutions, I acknowledge the comments of Councillor Adai, but if I gave the impression that was thinking that engineering solutions alone are the answer, I spoke, if that's the case. Of course, it has to be a combination. And previously, I as someone who's been involved in planting thousands of trees in the catchment, I probably believe nature-based solutions should take the lead. I'm now more convinced it has to be a solid combination. My concern around the issue and the fact that this study hasn't been done is there is divided opinion within our community, and I think our community deserves an answer. I think the previous council made the right call in going ahead with this study, and I think it's important for this council to reconfirm that we should continue with that. So I thank councillors for their support on this, Chair.
Did we add, so I thought you were going to add some words.
We did. I was just going to say that we are voting on the recommendation.
What? Can't see it, I'll put it back on the TV or...
Could you just read it out, if you're honest?
Just give a sec, we'll just put it up on the screen so we can all see it.
It's got moved there, but it also includes a recommendation.
Yeah, it's both of them. So the first part will be number one, and then
you'll format that.
All in one. Everyone okay with that?
Does it need a bit more detail?
Yeah,
the rejection of the bid for the nature-based study by Southern Cross University,
So, Arlene, just after the education outline disappointment, and then that sentence you just put in there, put that after disappointment in the rejection of.
Just to get the details right, it was actually in here submitted by University of New South Wales together with SCU, but they were actually, their name was not in the final.
We'll just have university study.
Do we need something in there that explores alternative funding or?
Perhaps.
We would like them to reconsider.
Offers them the opportunity to reconsider.
A different version of Noel's, I think, versus what's up there.
And look, it doesn't need to be in the motion, but the point that I think needs to be made is that it would appear the study is aligned with his priorities for what that centre should be funding, from what I've read, which is all about environment and climate change and the federal government's priorities. But that can be for the letter.
SCU's.
Yeah. We'll take this offline because it's hard with the way that we're trying to do it, but
we'll fix
that up.
That will be put to the different university and the disappointment we asked for it to be reconsidered. Okay. I'll put that motion in. All those in favour? Carried. 9.2, page 30.
Move.
Hurry, move.
Happy to move.
Yep.
yes. They're quite a sizeable, donation support, and it doesn't leave us with much in the budget moving forward. If we have another one like that,
around 5%.
Have to realise and see what we do.
So, through the chair, if we get additional applications that exceed the budget, obviously we have to bring it back for a reconsideration of the overall budget for the council. So. I can only act under delegation within the budget.
Yes.
If it exceeds that, it'll be another report back. Historically, we've had some peaks and troughs where sometimes there's been well under budget periods that, we've had to come back for some additional budget.
And do we keep that if we've come in under budget? Do we keep that siloed in case of going over budget?
It all just goes back into the one pot. And the $25,000 has been like a bit of an average over a period of time.
Okay, good. But it meets the policy, so I should approve it. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, can I just ask on that? So if this is 30 metres downstream of the water meter, how did they get charged? So from their side of the water meter, is that what this is saying? So downstream of water meter would indicate to me
instead of outside.
Oh, is that what it goes? I'm just trying to work that out.
So if it's upstream or on our side of the water meter, it's just the leak in the system, and we pick it up at the bulk meter point of view that we've had some leaks. But obviously it hasn't materialised on their water bill. But as soon as any leakage or problems on the downside of the water meter, it gets picked up, and then obviously that's a conversation because it's a rateable amount.
Sorry for me. And do we check on fault and cause of burst water pipes? I'm happy to support this to say, but do we actually check that they didn't cause it by putting an excavator through it or something?
So they've got to provide a licence appointments report as part of the application process. So we go off that the integrity of that report.
Yeah, no, okay, thank you.
Other speakers? Councillor Sharon, put that motion, all those in favour? Carried. Page 32, 10.1. Councillor Robb, seconder. Rob.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Seconder.
I've done too much talking last night.
No.
So we heard.
Yeah.
Huh? So we heard.
How did it go? Did you win the day? Oh, most of it, but we got part six tonight. Sorry. We're back tonight.
Seconder, Councillor Sarah. I'm
trying to save my voice.
Any other councillor?
Actually, yeah, I'd just like to say that the report, it's a great report, and also the submissions, as few as they were, and so many were taken on board. Those that there were would have been taken further in the report have been noted to do that, which I think is that's what the submissions are all about, isn't it? And so I really want to thank those that made the submissions and to the staff or to Hydrosphere for actually putting in what was necessary that was voided. There were some good suggestions there.
I like the one about the oyster.
Absolutely. The Richmond River oysters are really coming in. But Ausfish doing such a good job.
Anyone else? Right, a reply. That motion, all those in favour? Carried. 10.2 on page 94. Move it, please. Second for Rob. Seconder. Councillor Rod. Councillor Rob.
Yeah, no, I think just want to add something. No adverse commentary, so.
Seconder, speak. Any other councillors? May I write a reply? Oh. Motion, all those in favour? There he is. Over the page to 95. Councillor Sharon. Seconder, Councillor Michael.
Yeah, we don't really have a need for this policy because we're doing everything we need to do through the demand management, it's pointed out in the report. So it's sort of got redundant, really. And if there was something, we'd bring it, it'd be back to council anyway. So I think we can get tied up in so many policies that we're not using. It's quite redundant, so just move it away. I'd line it out of our portfolio.
You might have noticed in this term of council have actually got rid of a real lot of policies over time.
Yes, we have. I think it's streamlining.
It's a good thing.
Yeah. Because we have to keep reporting on our policies, not updating. We're not using them. What paper?
Question. Yeah. We're reviewing all policies at the moment to do the same thing.
So through the chair, so we've got an action register within ARIC that shows how many policies we have, what's in date, what's out of date. And there's still, so there's a couple of things. There's some policies that were duplicated or triplicated across various county councils and we consolidate them. But we don't just put up a quick policy. We review it, what's the relevance, is it still current, and then make that recommendation to council to like a full review of it or a tidy up or to revoke it. So no, there's the Helen and her team have got an approach that we're going through all of them and we're reporting that back to ARIC as well as just overall compliance in that space.
Any other councillors? Right of reply, councillor?
Fine.
Put that motion and all those in favour? Carried. Page 98, information reports, item 12. Get a mover, please.
Yeah, I'll move.
Sandra and Sharon. Councillor Sandra?
No, thank you.
Yeah, look, we're doing tracking pretty well, I think, with our investments. Staff doing an excellent job, thank you. Water production. Pretty steady as she goes, really, isn't it? No, consider all things considered. But we've been a different year from last year. So what else have we got here? Debt write-up summaries. That's all for housekeeping. And
yeah, I saw that.
I really haven't got anything to add. It's all self-explanatory, the report. And that really does give us a good overview of what's going on. So thanks to everybody involved in getting the reports together.
Is any councillors, this is all the information reports, six of them. Has any councillor got any other issues they'd like to raise?
I was just wondering with the increases in the interest rates, how vulnerable we are with some of those larger loans, or whether they're generally all fixed.
So I'll confirm with John, they're all fixed.
That's good news. No, it's a question on the debt write-off information. Just out of interest, where those little debts are not lawfully recoverable, is that because they're so small, or is there another reason? Sorry, 121.
121, that wings.
There's three small debts there. Well, under $30, it says. There's one big one in the next section. Over $18,000. So, yeah, over $18,000. Why are they not lawfully recoverable? So the second one says come through the future. That explains the big one, but the small one.
I'll pass over through the chair to Jeff. If he's got some more background.
Which you have to take on notice. I'm not quite sure why they're not lawfully recoverable. I see it
says
the data wasn't collecting.
Is that? It's our fault.
Yeah, so, okay. So when we see not lawfully recoverable, it's our fault. Is that what we're saying?
For lawyers, it costs more.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm trying to work out.
But we'll take that on notice and come back with a bit more of a background. But yeah, I just can't recall off the top of my head. Those
low
values, I don't see them.
We're a little bit ahead of time. So on the delivery program, I think there's seven red dots. Can you give us just a quick update on those red ones? And pulling out seven, I realise there are a total of 65 yellow or green. So I think seven red dots. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Down to the circumstances. So I don't want to harp on negativity, but I just think if you can give us an update.
What page are you looking at?
We're page 124 for the 33.
Andrew, are you in the position of the first one?
Yep. The first one, which is on page 127, is related to the the strategic review of our flood mitigation activities. So we've been...
Councillors, our agenda is 124.
Sorry. About halfway down that table. So that work's related to our flood strategic review and undertaking that review and collecting and analysing some data. We've been... made a decision to, there was a lot of duplication between the grant that we received and the objectives and the work the CSIRO was doing, keeping in mind that we applied for this grant in January last year. So we have been working with CSIRO and we're going to engage them to undertake the bulk of the work for this particular grant because they're already in the process of collecting most of that information. And the grant allows us to our grant agreement with the federal government allows us, you know, the timeframes that CSIRO are working to will match our timeframes for the grant. So there was too much duplication where, you know, CSIRO would be consulting with the community around particular flood activities or flood mitigation proposals, and we would be out there 6 months later doing the same thing on a smaller scale. So that's our intention, to work with CSIRO, much more efficient and better for the community, and get to piggyback off on a broader scale.
125. That's a question. Just is this linked to the preliminary report that's not being released for whatever reason, or is this separate?
It's linked to their broader work that they're doing with the flood modelling and looking at the mitigations. But our work is not just, you know, it's our work is looking at the governance and the arrangements for the flood mitigation in the Richmond catchment, and that's not necessarily what they're trying to do, but we'll be using the information that they've gathered to then look at that governance and the delivery of flood mitigation.
All right, thank you.
Page 1 of 25. Councils adopted the regional demand management strategy a bit later than we originally were planning for, due to the impact that had on the constituent councils, particularly their key staff, in terms of that consultation. So that has kicked some of our programs back a bit. But in terms of the pilot, we've made the decision to push that back to 2024, also just due to where the community's at too, as part of that. So just being mindful of where they are, because we need a very active engagement as part of those pilot programs. Water loss management plans. Andrew, are you up?
Yep, so that one is, you know, we've got a program of works. We've had some success with monitoring our network and finding some leaks, and we engaged a contractor in the middle of last year to identify some of that work. So that's the sort of first phase of that. But now we're implementing metering of our network to understand where we might, you know, to sort of narrow down where we might get some losses in the network. And as the comment there is, it's hard to buy these things at the moment, the supply chain issues, and we just have to wait, you know, like 6 months from the time of ordering to receiving a meter. And we're talking sometimes 600 millimeter diameter meters. They're not cheap or easy to manufacture, but we'll keep pushing along with that and seeing what we can achieve under that water loss management plan.
Still on page 125, those two are both related just to a vacancy. So we're doing recruitment. With our HR team, revisited the way that we're doing recruitment, the way that we have trying to engage with people, job applications, the whole lot, to try and really remove some of the barriers that traditionally people see. And so far we're getting some good success, but it is a very difficult market to break into at the moment. I think some of the metrics that HR was talking recently is that for every worker, there's about 4 jobs for that person that they can really apply for. So what we're trying to do is, be an employer of choice within the constraints of local government, but also, look at what we do to try and get people over the line.
Is it the unaffordability of housing that we're finding people aren't buying like they used to?
There's a whole range. We've always struggled in certain skill sets or certain types of roles, particularly in some of the specialist areas. But I think there's a whole range of things. People post the pandemic have been looking for opportunities. There's been a number of businesses have seen that. I think the cost of living is also an issue, where people are jumping ship for another role where it could only be a small pay rise. I don't think there's just one issue. The cost of housing and housing available in our region does make it hard to attract people outside of our region, because I've had a couple of interviews where people are like, yep, great, I don't have family, and then they start looking and you can just see straight away that well, hang on, I didn't expect that. I thought I was moving to the regions and it would be cheaper and things like that. So, and hence why we've been revisiting how we're doing a recruitment and trying to look at all those options. But the housing, unfortunately, is out of our remit, but it does play a factor.
So how many vacancies does RAS have in total?
Oh, off the top of my head, it'd be 10 to 15-ish in that order at the moment.
How long have we had them?
So most of the vacancies are recruited within 3 months, which is our internal, or 90 days, our internal KPI. Some of them are a bit quicker. We do have a couple, obviously, because we stopped recruitment before the Christmas New Year period, trying to onboard people during that period of time. You just can't. So, and we've since coming back, we've started back into that process. The other part of trying to onboard people just before Christmas, they don't have annual leave, and then it's leave without pay and all the other difficulties associated with that. So, but yeah, it's in that, off the top of my head, it's in that order.
Okay. Thank you.
One more.
Page 127. Look at that for a segue about recruitment. So that's, we have all the councils in our region are finding it difficult. As part of the JO, there was a body of work undertaken that we'll actually be going to the meeting this Friday, look at can we be a bit smarter as a region to recruit, and there were some options presented there, but unfortunately there's a lot of, as I said before, there's a lot of issues. So at the time, we don't believe that that would add much value. I think every council that I'm aware of has got a number of vacancies.
Yep.
So it's all about, yeah, trying to address those ones. And the third one, the last one, sorry, that one's just with capacity. We've just pushed that one back 6 months, which is the disability. Now, as a county council, we don't need to do one. There's not a statutory requirement. However, we have historically done it and see value in undertaking that body of work.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just thought it was worthwhile getting a verbal update on those, a bit different than just reading a comment.
Any other questions on the information reports? Councillor Sand, are you?
No, thank you.
That motion and all those in favour? Harry, thank you. Page 135. Need a motion to go into closed council?
I moved.
Second. Councillor Sand.
Closed.
Cassandra.
Camera.
Yeah, I didn't hear what you said. Didn't hear what Sharon said.
Sorry, did I miss something?
No, I didn't hear what Sharon said.
I just moved into confidential. That's all.
Moved to go into closed council.
Yeah.
Does the general manager have any representation? Gallery. Motion and all those in favour?
That council, one, accept the schedule of rates tender submitted by Safe Group Automation Proprietary Limited for a period of up to 5 years. Two, approve an upper limit contract value of up to $750,000 XGST per year.
Thank you very much. I'll now close the meeting. Thank you for your attendance. Everyone have a safe trip home.
Thank you.
Thank you.